on one up top. Bug on one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. Bug on one up top. Bug on one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops. Fuck off, water.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. And I am a technophobe, but I'm happy that I've eventually got this going. And I'm delighted to be joined by Inverness Caledonian Thistle, centre defensive midfielder. That's what you are, Neil Scott, aren't you?
I think so, aye.
And former Bowls player, of course. And first things first, Scott, I'd like to congratulate you on the newborn baby.
And
secondly, I'd like to congratulate you on getting to a cup final despite being knocked out 3 rounds ago.
I know, it's some doing, is it?
Yeah, but you're looking nice day out in Hamlet for you next week. And I'm sure you and the boys are looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, I think, 4-3 rounds ago, we thought we were knocked out, and then the team we were playing that beat us fielded an eligible player, and since then we've knocked out two Premiership sides and then beat Falkirk in the semi-final at Hampden a month ago, and then now we've got a final against Celtic, who are flying high.
Yeah, definitely. A bit of a jump in the standard there from Falkirk to Celtic in the final, but we'll touch on that Cups final next week towards the end of the podcast. And well, Scott, you've been probably a little bit of a Bowls fan from afar. You know, you've got your mate Ali there at the moment. Have you seen much of Bowls this year? Have you seen it at all?
Yeah, no, I've watched a wee bit, not massively, but I've watched bits here and there. And obviously, with Twitter and that these days, obviously seen the goals and that. But the games I've watched, to be honest, at the start of the season anyway, they started really well and they hit a bit of form. And to be fair, I'm no singing just saying that because Ali's my pal, but he was probably the main player that was delivering week in, week out. And obviously, always look out for the results in that. And recently, probably not been the best, but it certainly looks like a Bowls team that's back after maybe a poor season last year.
Yeah, I think last year the real disappointment out of the team. You know, your mates, the likes of Rockstar Cornwall, he left, Bucco left, a few others, main men deployed. So, really was, a long time maybe up, but we did lose a great point there. And probably, lads, you know yourself, are proper Bowlsmen.
Yeah, no, and fucking any team in any league, you need them kind of boys. Obviously, Bucco going to Australia, Dexter retiring, Rob going to fucking middle of nowhere in America, freezing cold. You lost a lot of experience, and then you start trying to recruit other boys that maybe don't replace that, and as much quality as the boys that have come in, you can't replace them types of characters.
Absolutely, yeah, and you said yourself there, Ali was being really playing well for Bowls this season. There's a lot of uncertainty in the off-season about where he was going to go or stay, whether he's going to be in the Devine's plans or where he wanted to go, but he's really bedded into the team. He's running them up the first few games. He got to get a bit of a knock and he was out sick as well. So hopefully he re-picked up his form. But I think you had a bit of influence on signing for Bowls.
Yeah, no. Obviously, at the time, I was away from Ireland. I was back in Scotland. And he had kind of said after a good season at Waterford that Bowls were in for them and asked me kind of about it. And as we'll probably touch on later, like I've only got good things to say about the club. And it was probably the next step for him after a good season at Waterford where he could really kick on at a good club in the Irish League. And yeah, I think he's done that. Obviously, maybe last year never went how he had hoped, but certainly in his first season in the European games and that as well, I watched him and he was very good. And this season he's kind of kicked off like that. So yeah, he asked me what it was like and I just told him honestly, like if I never liked it, I would tell him, but only really had good things to say. And then he's obviously made that decision to sign for Bowes and I think he's got the benefits out of it.
Yeah, hopefully he really kicks on now because there's definitely a very, very talented player and you know, it's about sort of a matter of getting in week in, week out, which I think he can do. Definitely still quite young and, you know, as he's coming into the prime years of his career, hopefully he kicks on big time now and puts Bowes back up right where we belong. We are going to go back to the start with you, but as we do with all our guests, and we did touch on Keith Long there. You signed two bowls that season, 2019, I believe it was, and you were linked with Waterford previous, but how did that move come about?
I was playing for Dundee United in obviously Scotland, and then I had a loan spell at Dumbarton. And it got to January, which is halfway through a season. And I had played for the two clubs. I'd played for Dundee United and Dumbarton. And the loan spell, I was pished, to be fair. It never worked out great. And then at United, new manager came in, young boy I was, said, "You're not really gonna play." And at that age, I was 20 at the time, and I needed games. So the only really place I could go was Ireland due to the new season starting. So the agent at the time rang Bose, and then Keith Long at the time said, "Come in for a trial." And then I was going to Waterford as well. So on trial, they obviously want to have a look at you. They don't know much about you, which is fair enough. And yeah, from there, I went in, I think, for a week at Bose. Done quite well on trial. Obviously, the gaffer wanted to sign me, but I was going down to Waterford anyway. And then I'd done all right there as well. So I was kind of in a position where I could have maybe went to two clubs, but obviously Keith, at the time, to be fair, was really, he sold the club well. And I never knew much about the league at the time. So as all managers do, they sell it well. But him and Trevor, I remember meeting them, and yeah, they just sold what it could do for me. And yeah, I made the decision to sign. And as we'll speak about that, I thoroughly enjoyed the time. There was down periods as well, but yeah, it was enjoyable.
Yeah, I remember. I think you were definitely part of the press conference at the start of the season.
Yeah.
I was in the club, and I remember that was the first time I met you. And you were looking for you actually hadn't got a bed to stay in that night. We were relying on a good friend of ours, Stephen Silk. And I remember I walked up, said, "Look," said, "he needs to ring Stephen Silk. That's where he's going to be fucking staying. Out of that, he's been staying on Lugo's couch." And so I tried to get Silk going, but I remember I walked up, handed the phone over to you to talk to him. And after I grabbed me over, he goes, "Oh, what's sorry, how are you getting on?" Whatever, like that. We work in the same bank. We're chatting away, and he goes, I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm just waiting for my phone back." I said, "You staying? Do you know Stephen Silk that used to fucking work in the Adelaide branch there besides you?" And he goes, "Oh, he's not fucking staying with him, is he?" He goes, "That fella's a fucking lunatic." But I suppose he was really like a father figure to you at times in your life as well.
Yeah, no, he was good. Not sure about a father figure, like, because I would have went off the
Said you're
rails.
more of a father figure to him.
Aye, fuck, I was keeping him under wraps. Him and Kev Devaney at the time. Fuck me, what a trio that is. But yeah, no, obviously at the club, a lot of money for a gaff in Dublin by the looks of things. So Silky had the gaff and said to the club he'd take a player in, and that was that. I went into the house. He was never there right enough. Fucking first time he was there, I looked at, woke up in the morning, he's out reading the paper. He's got the hairiest back in the world. Never mind
Oh,
Dublin.
he's like a
Oh,
bleeding silverback.
he's like a gorilla.
Yeah,
And that was some welcoming to Dublin.
and as you said, you thought, probably seeing him, I think this, bald 40-year-old man that works in a bank, and you're probably thinking, "I'm going to have to behave myself in this gaff."
Yeah, I thought that at first, but 40-year-old, you think he's fucking 18 by the fucking mental age. But nah, he was brilliant. To be honest, he wasn't there all the time. So it kind of felt like you were
Had
in
the
the
cat to
house all week.
yourself.
Yeah, and then Kev Devaney was there as well, but never got many jokes out of him at the time as well. And then obviously Andre came in the summer, so yeah, it was certainly different. But yeah, again, I enjoyed it, and it was a decent place to stay.
Think it was a bit of a slow start to the season for yourself that year. I think it took you a couple of games, probably took a handful, maybe more games. I think it was the Cork League Cup game that you got the first start in. Remember that pre-season conference, you sort of stage yourself as a ball playing player, and they just went in, I think, and everyone remembered you as the Tartan Hammer, which was a
Yeah.
pack on now smashing people up.
Yeah, no, I think obviously at the time I was a late starter to pre-season. I think I signed late in January, and I had a loan spell at Dumbarton. I was probably a wee bit off at fitness wise. And I was playing catch up, and to start that league, the boys started really well. Level came in from Wolves, young boy. Buckle was vice captain, or had been there a number of years, so it was difficult to get in. And frustrating at times. At times, I wasn't making squads and that, and I was thinking, Christ, like, have you made the right decision? But I stuck at it, just worked hard, and I wanted to prove to myself that I could get in the side when an opportunity came. And yeah, I think that court game in the cup was probably the real opening of me getting any type of minutes. And then from there, again, it was a wee bit stop start from then before latter part of the second half of the season.
No, I think it came, I think when it hit the mid-season break in June, and it was still level on Bucco starting every week. But I think it felt like, from the fans' point of view, that had probably gotten a little bit stale between the pair of them. But I think at the same time, both of them got injured around the same time. And I think the midfield was overtaken then by myself and Ross Tierney. And Tubbs came in and sort of took it by storm.
Yeah, no, I think at the time, yeah, as you said, maybe results were a wee bit drifting, and they were playing with niggles. And at the time, it'd be fair, like level and that, they were playing through niggles, and I don't think Keith really trusted me, which was frustrating. But like, that's life. Is if you're trying to make it in the game, you're not everyone's cup of tea. I don't think he really trusted me, so it's kind of up to you to prove otherwise, which was tough. It probably took longer than expected. The games, I felt I'd done quite well, and then the next game I wouldn't be starting. But again, that's football. And then yeah, me and Rossi came in. Was that his debut when he first started playing?
I think I might have been. Yeah, wouldn't have been far off.
Yeah, we just complimented each other well. The boys like Mo Farah. He just runs absolutely everywhere. But I think we complimented each other well, where I was disciplined and he knew that he could run here, there and everywhere, and I would kind of sit in for him and kind of keep that discipline when the defensive side of the team.
Yeah, definitely. It was a bit of a refreshing part of seeing the two lads, two young lads as well, trying to make their stamp in the team.
Yeah, there was a few. Anyway, I remember a few games. Obviously, the Cork game does stand out because I think they were decent at the time, Cork. I know they had made a couple of changes. And even that type of game, boys that weren't playing came in and done well. And I think that was the main reason the team was successful that year, where a lot of boys were writing the team off at the start of the season. That you had, even like your Michael Barkers and that, people will say what they want, but they were in training every day, working the pan, and not happy they weren't playing. But when you have them type of boys training well and kind of pushing and making sure the boys that are starting are on their toes and know they need to perform, I think that is the backbone of success at any team. And certainly that season, throughout the whole squad, whether they played a lot or not a lot, that was the main reason why we done quite well.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the chess game. I'm not sure if you did play a part now to look back on it, but it was the one we were 2-0 down with 5 minutes ago. Andrew,
was that, yeah, I remember it. I was on the bench, and yeah, it was madness, really, because I thought we were out the cup. There wasn't long left, and then was it Dano scored?
Yeah, he got two and Buckle got one.
Yeah, and even was it Longford as well in the cup? Why?
Longford was second in the next game was penalties as well. Penalty in normal time.
Yeah, that was the same kind
in the
of
90
thing
minute.
Where you were behind, and I think as players as well, that was a good thing within that team, where you never really, it was never say die. You always had a chance, kept fighting to the end, whether we lost or not. Whether you were behind in games, we kept going, and I think that was throughout the team. And to be fair, the gaffer and Trevin, that was set by them. Dets or the older ones, as you've mentioned previously, like that was the reason for why we done a bit of success that year.
Yeah, I think there was a really good bond between the players and fans that year. It was probably one of the best seasons Sporting Bowls that year in general, in terms of the relationship between the fans and the players. I even remember the game against, I remember Dundalk in the semi-finals.
Yeah.
Got beaten 5-1. And I remember we scored a goal, but there was still, I think we were losing 4-5 by that stage. We scored a goal, and there was a massive uplift from the away fans. Like, and
yeah,
it just
no, wasn't. I can't comment on previous years because I never really knew much about Bowes, but that year, as you said, that's what I felt like. It felt like you had a group of young boys mixed with a group of experienced heads, and it was just a real good bond. Obviously, the boys got the backing of the fans, and yeah, it was a real good mix where young boys in the game, they were hungry to do well. And then the older ones knew exactly what it meant to play for Bows, and it did. It just kind of came together well, and yeah, we had a great team spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember we called then, as you said, everyone played a part. Even the lads on the fringes, like yourself, brought some Mikey Barker. Remember Mikey Barker got the probably very important call down in Waterford at that time, the last
Yeah,
minute of the
last
game.
minute. Thought me half the Bows were on the pitch.
I might
I
be in
remember
there
that.
myself.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
I remember he scored that goal. And fuck me, I can't remember scoring many corners under Keith Long and Trevor Colley over the years, but that's probably the last one I can remember. The only one that really stands out at the time.
But he like even the Rovers game before the split, like there was a lot of big games where there was good moments within that. And I think throughout that season there was loads of them moments.
Definitely. Then of course you went on to the cup semi-final that year, and you started yourself that week. I remember, I think me and Sakey were bigging you up the week beforehand in the gaff, saying, "Look, we're gonna fucking do it."
Yeah, no, I think that was probably the most disappointing thing with that season, was that cup semi-final, because there was a real hype around it. But yeah, if we conceded a goal in 5 minutes, and as much as Bulls fans hate Rovers, they're a good team, and you give them a one goal lead, and they played the occasion well, and we never done enough. I never done enough that game as well. I was poor, and all round, it was probably an opportunity missed.
Yeah, it was one of those ones that sort of went by us. I think it's happened to the Bulls fans a few times over the years. Plenty of semi-final knockouts. And we got to the final 2021. Wasn't to be either, but hopefully this year will be a fucking year. We get a bit of silverware at the end of it, whether it be an unlikely league title or cup. But
In fairness, that semi-final was the first time I've seen a horse on a fucking football pitch. Sure, there was a police horse. Oh my God, man. Only time I've seen a horse is at the fucking Grand National. Next thing you know, it's at Daily Mount.
Yeah, it's a Dublin derby is quite into that. Tis will probably have nothing like that in terms of rivalry, did it?
Nah, I think obviously you liken it to Celtic and Rangers, but that game certainly was an eye-opener, where you really see the other side of it, because you always hear about it and you see it online and stuff like that before you went. And then I remember I was off at the time, and then fucking all hell was breaking loose in the far corner, and then next thing you know there's police horses on the park. You're like, fucking hell.
I remember a few years ago, spilled onto the pitch. There was Bulls fans and Rovers fans fighting each other in the middle of the pitch. This was in about, I think, 2018. Maybe it's longer. But actually, could have been before that, yeah. But there was basically Rovers fans jumped on the pitch, a few Bulls fans jumped on the pitch, and they just punched the head off each other. And I remember it ended up on like news in Argentina and all that sort of stuff. And you're like, people sort of might laugh at the League of Ireland, maybe less so these days, but with that, it is a fucking serious derby. Like, I don't know, what's it like to play in it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I think walking out through the tunnel in that, just the atmosphere. I think it starts from you go out to warm up, and everyone's in place, the whole singing section and that. And that's when it really hits, that it's 50 minutes before a game, but everyone's packed into the ground singing. It just gives everyone a lift. And then obviously in Ireland and that, the flares and that. Now, in Scotland, it's frowned upon, but in Ireland, it was an eye opener. It was different. And that makes the atmosphere, like, it's brilliant when you see that kind of stuff. It gives everyone a lift. I don't care if people moan about the standard of the leagues, which they're so quick to do. Like, there's a lot to like about them, the atmospheres that are in the league.
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as saying now it's anything like Turkey or Greece, but you know, I think it's a much different atmosphere at the UK games when it comes to like pyro displays and stuff like that. You don't really see that sort of stuff, particularly at high-end Premier League games like Bowes, the MEB, Bowes Ultras. Like they'd have a display on sort of the big games, the derby games, and will have something hopefully to encourage the players. But you don't see that at you don't see that in England too much. I know you get a bit of a Scotland, a bit of a Rangers.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a more European thing, but it's players, it's brilliant. It gives everyone a lift. The atmosphere's incredible, and then like you say, the Bows Rovers games was an eye opener, but I really did enjoy it, bar that kind of semi final where, yeah, we had a missed opportunity and we weren't good enough.
I think you set Manju up, did you, for that game?
Yeah, I wouldn't have said set him up, only won a header, but. He's went and
Yeah,
stuck. He's went and stuck one in the top bin from 40 yards. But yeah, after that, yeah, it was mental. How he done that to this day. And then the celebrations after when he scored that, like, that was another moment throughout that season where it was really good. And then after that game, I went a Vegas for a week, because we had the week off, and so that was a fucking a real good couple of weeks.
No wonder we fucking came back in a shit run of form. You're supposed to hop
Oh,
around
mate.
Vegas.
Came back 10 kilo heavier or not.
But I suppose that year ended with qualification for Europe. And well, a lot of Bulls fans, I've never seen a Bulls been fucked off, Scott. I've gone regularly about 12 years, 13 years now at this stage, seeing us win sweet fuck all. So the closest thing I got to a trophy was that night in Inchicore, where we qualified for Europe in Pats. Well, what was that like for a player, getting over the line? I know you yourself are a bit sure about where you're going to be next season, but even then, the scenes and celebrations within the players, the fans, the coaches, that.
Yeah, no, it was really good. We obviously knew what was at stake in terms of Europe and how big it was for the club, for the fans, but financially for the club, it was a big thing. I think previously it's been well documented how much the club obviously struggled, and then that kind of seemed like the next step for the club. So we knew going into it how obviously how big it was, and then it was a terrible game. I remember Talbot's save from, was it Forrester?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah,
Tipping over the
incredible.
bar.
And that we were poor that game. We were hanging on, but I think in them kind of games, you know what you need to do, and it's just all about, it doesn't matter how you play, really. It's all about just getting the job done. And yeah, at the end of that game, was very good. It was great. And then Danny Grant's gaff after it was even better.
You went back there. We won't say what went on, but I think his mother tried to say it was good. It was a good party, but I don't think she was too happy in person.
I don't think she was baking any cakes for the boys after that night, man.
Well, hopefully she's baking cakes for the boys soon again. I know he's out of contract in a few weeks' time, but if he doesn't get something sorted over UK, it's like to see him back at Bowls. Suppose would you have watched? Did you think Danny's obviously been a bit disappointing in terms of his injuries? He's never really got proper breakthrough. Like, do you think that he was probably could have done with maybe staying in Ireland a little bit longer, or was that the right time to go?
It's very hard. Like, I know everyone outside the football, it's probably ideal that they sit around and wait, play 3, 4 seasons and then move. That's the ideal scenario, that you're going and you're ready, but it might never happen again. You've said that about the injuries. He could have got injured at Bowes, and then you never have that opportunity to go to a club in England, and that's every boy's dream. They want to try and make it the big time, so you can never criticise someone for trying that. But even that season, like, I remember when I went in at the start, he was, I don't know if he had played much the season before, or maybe he was just starting. And the improvement from the start of that season at the end of that season was ridiculous, really. You just give him the ball, and the second half of the season, you just say, go and do something for us. And you really see his game come on. And yeah, he's had a couple of injuries now, but I'm sure he's, I think, where was he, Harrogate or something on loan?
Alone at Harrogate, yeah.
And yeah, it's hard, like, but you would have learned a lot for that. And I'm sure if he does come back to the League of Ireland and sign with Bowes, that he'll really kick on, because people forget, what is he, 23, 22, 23?
22, 23, I think he's still potentially could come back, have another good season if he don't get another move, so.
Exactly, and he's came back a better player. So yeah, I think it's easy to say, oh, maybe he went too early, but when you've got that reward, and you go for it and you back yourself, then it's just unlucky how it's panned out, but I'm sure he'll kick on again.
Yeah, definitely. Suppose that season ended then, as you said, it was a party in Danny Grant's gaff. How did it end with yourself at the club? I know I think there might have been an option to think the club would sort of team might have wanted to keep you. Probably felt that you had to offer your contract.
To be honest, like, I think it run its course. I felt I'd proved to myself I'd worked ever so hard to get in the team and play a small contribution to the team overall. But yeah, I felt like for myself I had to go, and probably for Keith as well. I don't think he was too bothered about keeping me. If I'd stayed, I don't think he would have had too many problems, because I would like to think I'm a good influence around the place. I got on with a lot of the boys. I would train hard, but I think it was just time to move on. And we had that discussion. I knew it was time, and I think he kind of felt it as well. I don't think I really had that trust fully from him, which is fair enough. And yeah, I moved on, and here we are, a Scottish Cup final, and a chance to kick on, really.
Yeah, I suppose what was it like playing under Keith and Trevor? I know maybe put your hindsight now, you can look back in a couple of years a bit older and a bit wiser. Maybe you don't know if you did have a grudge or not. I know that's football, but what you think of them as coaches at the time? I know John has since been relieved of his duties, I suppose, and Trevor's still involved in the younger age set up. What was it like playing under him?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say I had a grudge at the time. Obviously, I was frustrated I wasn't playing, but he's a good manager. I think he's proved that. He'll prove it with Waterford as well. We've done really good things with Bose. But I do think, like, Trevor Crawley, I know he was a massive influence, certainly on me and on the players, like his coaching, his detail. And I think he was exactly what the group needed at the time. He's intense, and not everyone likes that, but I loved it. I loved how he is. And I think when you had that group of young players like that, he was on the boys every day. And I think that set the tone for the rest of the season. So yeah, I can't speak highly enough of Trevor or Keith as well. Like, but Trevor is probably one of the better coaches I've had in my career so far. I think he was brilliant. And any time I was out the team as well, he'd always try and help me and work with me to try and get back in the team. And that he's intense, but he got the best out of that group as well from a coaching perspective.
Yeah, I do. I've heard from multiple people that probably is the best coach they've worked under.
Yeah, no, I would happily say that as well. And he would always make time. He worked, was he, I don't know if he still does, was it a library or so, that type of job?
Yeah, I think that was, I think now that the puts you settled in it, I think that's one of the main reasons why Keith never really went full time.
Yeah, but even one of the days I remember he took me in, he says, "Look, come in at my work and we'll work through your clips and I'll work with you and we'll go through it and see what you could do better and see what you've done well." And even that kind of dedication, like I was away from home, I loved that. Like, and it was really good for me to just kind of have someone like that that was willing to work with you and try and help you along.
Yeah, I suppose. Then, what were you looking at after that when Bowles had released you? Were you looking to stay within the league, or were you looking to go back to England or home? Or
The only thing with going home then is you're going back in the middle of a season, so it's very hard. If teams are signing players in January, they need you ready. They need you to really fit and fire. And we had finished maybe 2 months earlier, so I don't really know if it was an option.
where's that? You're drinking like fucking eating like shit over Christmas too.
It's a long off season, and it always in my head. I think I had an offer from Cork, you know, right at the start of the off season, but I was humming and hawing really. I kind of had in my head I wanted to try something a wee bit different, and there was a wee thing about maybe going to America or Canada. I was speaking with an agent, but with these things it takes. There's so much moving parts really, and a lot of the time agents talk shite, so you kind of take it with a pinch of salt. So I had an opportunity to sign with Waterford, never had a club, and I thought, yeah, you know what, I'll go there. Rennie at the time was still there. He says he'll sign you, and if someone does come up abroad, then you can go, no hassles at all. So it suited me, and I signed with Waterford, but I was there maybe 2 months, and COVID hit, and that was me back in Scotland for lockdown.
Yeah, remember that? All right, I think it was that your first game. You played Pats in the first game.
Yeah, I don't know how we won that. We're stinking, but we've managed to grind it out, and then I think we played Bose. Bose won that game at the RSC.
Yeah.
And then I think I played one more game, and that was it. That was COVID hit, and then I was back home, and that's how I ended up in Inverness. Really, I was back in Scotland, and there was a lot going on at Waterford at the time.
How did that move to Inverness come about?
Really, my old coach knew the gaffer at Inverness, and I was back home. Lockdown had just ended, and I wanted to stay in Scotland. I was home, was enjoying it, being back in Scotland, really, and then the gaffer at Inverness just phoned me up and said, "We'll take you on." I think he took a bit of a gamble because when I was in Ireland at the time, I don't think there was many players went from Ireland to Scotland. And I
Yeah.
think it was probably a wee bit disrespected, not from the manager, but just as a whole. But that's certainly not the case now. But yeah, he offered me a deal, and I'm in my third season now, and I've really kicked on whenever I've been fit, I've played, and we've had a wee bit of good times and bad times, but now obviously we're in the Scottish Cup final.
Yeah, I suppose you're playing Celtic with this. So, former Celtic manager or Celtic captain Scott Brown, he's a Fleetwood manager, Fleetwood. He said himself, like, League of Ireland is really like it's a good pond to fish in for UK clubs. It's now obviously changed. Like, as you said, when you were playing over in League of Ireland, there was probably laughter in parts of Scotland and particularly all over England. But that's really changed though, with a lot of players, young players going through. The young players that have taken on, you know, nearly 50, 60 caps of senior team, where you wouldn't get that in the UK, in a lot of places. But what's the difference between, say, Championship, SPL, League of Ireland? How could you compare it?
The only thing I could really, it's very hard comparing, but we have a couple of Irish in the changing room as well, and we're always speaking about the League of Ireland. It's certainly grown. It's obviously on the LY TV, is it, these days? So there's access all the time, and you see with the amount of boys going to England and that, it's not really that much an underrated league now. The only problem is I think the whole governing body has left it a wee bit isolated in terms of commanding big fees, and that probably lets it down more than the standard of the league itself. But how we would compare it is Inverness. I think if we were in the League of Ireland Premier, I think we'd be aiming for Europe, around that kind of team, around that kind of position. But then you look at the likes of the Shamrock Rovers, I fully believe they'd be top six in the SPL.
I'm both.
And
Crazy.
Bose at the minute, aye. Bose the first 12 games of the season, anyway. But nah, I think the top teams in the Premier is close to the Championship and the bottom end of the SPL. I honestly think that, and then the top teams would give a real good account of selling the SPL. Obviously, Celtic and Aberdeen and are a
Yeah, there's a
different.
couple of clubs that are fucking way above everyone, like.
But yeah, I think the league as a whole has been disrespected, and it's only really now that it's people are looking at it thinking, you look at the countless number of players that's went over in recent years, and it's a lot better than it's ever got credit for. And I think the one thing that maybe isn't the best is the facilities, but I think that'll grow in time.
Yeah, I think you've left Boulder training and back to St Regis.
Yeah, but not so much Bose. We were training Lange, but obviously I see now on Instagram, the is it the DCU?
ECU, they share the complex with Dublin GAA, which is obviously in the league fucking standard.
Yeah, and I think it's more so like the stadiums. I know Dalymount's getting redeveloped, but you go to Dundalk and at the time they're champions, but
A kip, fucking kip,
oh
like.
fuck. It's something like in League Two in Scotland, like it is, and I think that is kind of not the best when you go around, and obviously Dundalk were League of Ireland champions at one point, and their stadium maybe wasn't the best, but certainly player wise and quality wise, like the league has massively grown. And I think people from Scotland, England are taking notes of that, and hopefully they can't keep getting boys on the cheap because they're worth a lot more than they're going for.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose what Bowles are really looking forward to is Evan Ferguson.
Yeah.
Was he at the club when you were there? You played with him, actually, that play against Chelsea.
Yeah. So obviously that game against Chelsea. How old was he then? 14?
14, that's right, yeah.
I never even had hair on my balls then, and he's coming up against big Kurt Zouma, and he's holding his own, like it was incredible. And then he came on against Derry, and you could see that was kind of the start of he had real quality and a physicality which not a lot of boys have at that age, and then he's kicked on since then.
Yeah, he's gone on. Hopefully, I don't think his move will be this year. He probably have to do another year, right? But then
Yeah.
again, football doesn't wait for people either. If someone's willing to spend the money and they want them out, they get.
But it was incredible. Like big Kurt Zouma, I don't know, what is he, 6 foot 6? He's built like
Yeah.
anything. Big Evan Ferguson's given it as good as he got, and that was the first time I was like crazy, like who is this guy? And then yes, what he's doing now is
There's another picture of you that day. Wasn't putting anyone back your ankle. Back to
aye, big
Yoko.
aye, 50 million man.
For about 2 weeks, then he went for another about 6 months later.
I'm sliding tackling him. He's just throwing money at it. But then obviously Billy Gilmore and that as well. But I remember in that game, I think Paddy Kirk, did he not put Kennedy into the billboards? He
I
was
think he
lining
did,
up.
yeah.
Frank Lampard was shiting himself on the touchline. Big Paddy was lining up tackles here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, I remember Paddy does like attacking the fence, so. But that was Frank's first game as Chelsea manager, and he's still in the dugout now.
Yeah, no, exactly. It was even that game, like different experiences when that season, it was it was all good, like.
Yeah, it was a good thing. It was a good thing probably to tick off yourself. Say you play Chelsea. You can tell people in a couple of years' time you played alongside Evan Bergs.
Exactly. I say to the boys here, I made them because I was just shelling balls up to his head and he was taking it down.
But I suppose we're still touching on your time in Scotland there. And I do want to talk about your upcoming cup final next week. Celtic versus Inverness. I think you told me I was talking to you around the quarter final times after you qualified for the semis, and you were like, I just don't want to get Celtic in the semis.
Yeah. No, I think with Celtic and Rangers that were left in the draw along with Falkirk, like, no disrespect, but you'd want to avoid the Old Firm. They're by far the strongest teams in Scotland, and you want the best possible chance of getting to a Scottish Cup final. And we have managed to avoid them. We got Falkirk. We beat them 3-0 at Hampden, which was a really good day out, and then now we've got Celtic.
Yeah, I suppose. Has there been talks yet? Have you sat down and watched videos of Celtic yet? And where do you look at that and go, right, we have to stop this?
Anytime I look at it, it's just big Hatate running here, there, and everywhere. So if I'm marking him, I'm going to need to learn Japanese for give us a breather. But I don't know how I don't know how that is. But yeah, they're obviously an incredible team and probably the best Celtic team I've seen. Certainly, I think they could be better than Rodgers or Celtic anyway.
You think
And yeah.
so?
Yeah, I think they're incredible. I think obviously in Champions League and that they went out the group, but they went toe to toe with the Real Madrid. I remember the first half at Parkhead, and I was like, wow, I think they just missed that maybe the next edge where in the next few years they'll look to build. But they're incredible, and it's a massive challenge for us, but one we're really looking forward to because at the end of the day, it's a one-off game.
Yeah, you never know what could happen. It could be a red card early on for Celtic. All it takes is one bad tackle or a striker to slip the man. Where does the Inverness trek come from?
Sorry, what's that?
Where does the Inverness trek come from next week?
Yeah, I don't know. Like that is we've got Billy Mackay. He played for Northern Ireland. He had a few games, few teams over in England. I think he signed for Wigan and that. So he's our main threat. He scores goals. He scored a lot of goals this year. But we know as well there's VAR. So in both boxes, you've got that opportunity where. Sometimes against these teams, you might not get the
Get the
decisions, but
decision, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
that is a big thing in these games where maybe you wouldn't get them elsewhere. But with these games with VAR, there's if it's a foul, you're going to get a foul. So certainly, it gives you an opportunity around the edge of their box. But we know we're going to need to be so disciplined. They'll probably not be the most prettiest on the eye, but when we get a few chances, we need to take them.
Absolutely. I think there is a young Irish lad playing for you. Zach, his name is, isn't it?
Yeah, Zach Delaney. I don't know where he's from. I think he's from Tallaght.
Yeah, I think he's from that knock line direction. I remember that
Yeah,
with Dallin as
so,
well.
and we've also got another lad, Aaron Doan. He was at Blackburn as a kid. He's from Inchicore. So yeah, a couple of Irish boys. He's been here for years. And it's a great opportunity for the whole squad and for the team as well, not just as players, but financially for the club, what it means if we can somehow get the job done.
Yeah, I suppose your housemate, Rob Deasy. He's got his hands full. Probably, who would be marking, do you think? Maeda or?
I know, centre half, you'll have Kyogo. You'll have another. He'll be needing to learn Japanese as well. So yeah, he's certainly got his hands full, but I think you go through that whole Celtic team, you look to their bench as well. There's quality everywhere, but as I said, a one-off game, we're going to give it our best shot.
I was having a look online for, the Inverness Cup final. Came across an Inverness Cup final song.
What's this?
It says, believe it, imagines you getting an assist.
Aye.
How many
Is
assists have you got this season?
that zero? I don't know who. I think Stevie Wonder wrote the song. Yeah, that came out the day. I've heard better songs like, but obviously there's a real buzz around the town, so we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and look, I'm not going to lie to you. I was talking to a couple of your teammates today and I was asking for a bit of information on you.
Christ, here we
But
go.
could you, I heard you're a bit of a singer. I never heard you sing on a night out, but Any chance of getting a bar of Jason Mraz, I'm yours?
Do you want one? I need a wait. We need to do a live podcast. You could get some of the boys for that season. We had a few good nights out, like with the boys. Harry's on the green.
I remember it was one night out. It was a night after Bowles played shares in the cup game. Remember me and Tilky were at the Dublin game the next day, and we were over in Dame Street, and we're having a drink, and we're just chatting to these two girls. I think they're both for the match of the weekend. We're chatting about them. Next of all, I got a notification on my phone saying the highlights are up for the match. I was like, Silky, the highlights are up. So the two of us went immediately from chatting with the two girls, the tournament back and watching the match that we'd been at the night before. I remember you was doing Busker that day. That's the you was doing Busker, and you were over with your girlfriend. And you text Silky, so I'll come down here with the missus, come down, we're in the type of bar, whatever like that. I remember me and Silky went down, walked in, and next week, like, we just see Rob Cornwall's fucking big head appearing from the other end of the bar. I was like, I can see Rob Cornwall there, I think. Next of all, then I think it's Mike saying, that's it, I'm turning out the Silky. It's like, oh, we can't come in here. There's fucking the players are here. They're going to think we're being following them around the place. But we went down, we just had a few drinks, and Pod was there as well. He told me to say hello to you. I hope they're getting on well.
Yeah, no, like, even that dynamic, obviously, staying with Silky in that. But it was kind of like that. There was a wee bit of a bond between the players and the fans. And even, I remember after the Sligo game as well, it was chaos in that bar. But there was a real togetherness, and it was brilliant. Danny Grant was getting lobbed for pillar to post after that Sligo game on in that bar. It was mayhem.
That's right, yeah. I think I remember I was on the decks that night, and I think I played She's a Belter. You came in and you came in thinking in a kilt.
And a kilt with a big chopper. I remember that in that bar, but that never lasted long. That someone yanked that kilt off. It went flying across the room, but. Yeah, no, there was a few good nights out as well amongst the football.
Yeah, it was a good night that night, I have to say. I said, Balotelli, what was he famous for off the pitch?
Balotelli, setting a firework off in his bathroom, was he?
What happened to your letterbox?
It was my first season at Inverness, it was firework night. So I was just sat in the flat. And then next thing you know, there's fireworks going off in the backies. I'm thinking, what the fuck is that? Next thing you know, someone shoots a firework through the letterbox. It's fucking pinging everywhere. That is my one foot. Like, that is one thing I'm scared of, fireworks. And it was pinging off in the living room. I was absolutely shite myself.
I was talking to one of your ex-teammates about, and he's the tightest cunt going. He said, you used to get Sanborn to turn the change rooms after. I'm sure you can have a guess who that was.
Aye, fucking Sam. Sam started the bad one. To be fair, I think I went elsewhere to get it finished off right enough. But, he started the bad one and gave a few boys a few scare cuts.
But remember that night, I think Sam was out was one time. It was the Champions League final. Things were just going on to our season break. I remember we meant to have a barbecue on set because, of course, he went rambling to a lady's house that night and never returned. And it was a barbecue that never happened because you were sitting around there waiting all day and you hadn't got a fucking barbecue.
Yeah. No, I remember that night because where were we? We were in the Mercantile or something.
Yeah, you'd won a few quid on the horses that day.
Yeah, I think we were watching the Champions League final and I was waiting on this horse and it romped home. I think I won a fair bit, like, so I said to Silky, oh, there's money behind the bar, or go and get whatever. And he was getting fed triple whiskies. And then the next thing you know, he went missing. And I think he stomped up to the house about 12 the next day. He said he fell asleep at McDonald's.
Yeah, and I remember, I think we left Sam Bourne that night. And
I think he went for something
to eat.
He made the most of that.
Yeah, he enjoyed himself that night anyway. He was meant to be staying with you when he never, I don't know what he'd done after that night, so he got a taxi back to the sticks.
Yeah, no. I think he went to every kebab shop in Dublin that night. He was fucking enjoying his food then.
Yeah, well, good night that night, I have to say. Bit of cracking. I'm sure you enjoyed your time in Dublin as well. I'm going to move on and ask you a few questions here, Scott, as we wrap up. I want to ask you, what's your best 5-a-side team that you played with? If you're in it.
At Bose.
In career.
Coley. You know what? He's a madman, but I need to say Talbot. Right, he is some goalie. I would probably need to say Talbot in the goal. I would say Harry Suter at the back. That's harsh on Detzer and that, but
I think you were the first person to leave out that time in your boy was out then.
I can't leave him out, can I? Nah.
You have to face the hand when he picks you tomorrow.
No, I need to go with Detzer. I'm on a Bose podcast. Yeah, no, I'll go Detzer. Do I need to include myself?
You can be a roll on, roll off. Go on.
Right, okay, I'm roll on, first 30. I probably hated for this, but Dan Omandru, without a doubt. I think quality wise, he's unbelievable. How many is that?
That's three.
Three.
You going 1-2-1, or are you going to go 1-1-2?
No, me and Dexter will hold the fort. You know what? Put Ross Tierney in there. I think he was very good and probably underrated. And
No
then,
room for Wardy.
no, someone needs to do the running, and you're not getting it for Wardy. And then up top, I'll probably go Billy Mackay, who's at Inverness. He's scored goals throughout his career.
Yeah, so a couple of goals there. Good side of the fence, anyway.
Yeah, no, Detzer could go around smashing them, and I'll just mop up and give them a wee kick, you know.
Yeah, so no room for Wardy or Evan Ferguson.
Fuck Evan Ferguson and all, aye.
But yeah, and I'm going to ask you, what was your favourite moment as a player?
I think probably the same Scottish Cup semi-final. Obviously, getting a Scottish Cup final is massive in Scotland. I think growing up as a kid, enjoying Scottish football, it's always that big one that you always dream of being involved in, and obviously achieve it. An opportunity of playing a bigger game as this. It probably was that Scottish Cup semi-final.
Yeah, I suppose I know you look Inverness clearly the underdog here without a shadow of a doubt. I know it's a case of look if you're not expected to win, but and just enjoy the occasion. But I suppose we'll be a bit gutted if you don't win it.
No, of course, we're not there to make up the numbers as much as people will back Celtic, and rightly so. We're the massive underdogs, but look, we're going there to try and win the cup. It's a one-off game, as I said. We're not going to roll over and let Celtic have a big treble party. We're going to make it as hard as we can for them and try and get the win. As I said, it's going to be a very tough ask, but we're not there to make up the numbers. We've earned the right to play them, and we're going to go in and give it our best shot.
And what would your favourite pause moment be?
Favourite Bose moment. Probably that Rovers game. The Dan O'Mandrew's obviously the screamer. I think that was probably my first taste of playing in a Bose Rovers game, and the way we won it was incredible. But throughout the season, honestly, I could go on about the moments. I've mentioned some of them, but it was a really I loved it really. There were so many from the football side, and then after it there was a lot more than just the football. All the boys were brilliant as well. And every single person within the club was brilliant to me and my family when they were over. So it was great times throughout the season, and it's honestly a time I look back on now and look back on it fondly.
And what would you say your worst moment of your career has been top there?
We lost the playoff final last year against St Johnstone, to go into the Premiership, and that was hard to two all the first leg, and yeah, we just got blown away the second leg. We ran out of steam and ended up 4-0, and yeah, it was just gone, because for the club, if we got to the Premiership, it's a whole new kettle of fish, the amount of money involved and a real chance to go and experience a Premiership, and hopefully we would have done well in there.
Yeah, and suppose, look, I know you like a drink, but you obviously don't drink every week being a pro athlete that you are. If you had to go for a drink with a player, dead or alive, who would it be?
You know, I listen to a few podcasts. I don't know if you've listened to that Under the Cosh.
I've listened to a few episodes.
Yeah, and it came up recently. The boy Tommy Graverson played for Everton, Celtic, and that. There's a few stories about him. He just seemed like an utter madman, but I think he'd be good value for money on a night out. So I think I'd probably go for him.
That's a lot better. Most people just come here and say straight away, Diego Maradona.
Push. Yeah.
Bad answer.
Well, look.
We don't accept that anymore.
Nah.
Well, I suppose we'll wrap up here. And actually, one question I forgot to throw into you there was, what does Spurs mean to these days?
Just a proper good club, I think. Elsewhere, just a proper good club. It's as you see the backing week in, week out. They got saved by the fans. I think the players probably appreciate that kind of backing from the fans, but just every single person in that club looked after me and made me feel welcome from the minute I arrived in Dublin. So, yeah, I always look back fondly and always look out and want them to do well, and hopefully I'll be over soon for a catch up and a carry on.
Yeah, there's a spare bed in my gaff there if you want to put your head down for a night or two. I suppose Silky put you up. I think he has a couple of Brazilian girls living in there, so never know, we might navigate over to his gaff for a few drinks.
As long as he's not got his hairy back out, because the Brazilians will be off back to in Rio.
You might get a Brazilian fucking max after him.
Oh, wow.
But suppose playing Chelsea this Friday. Chelsea, you were only played them once in the cup. It would have been a team you would have been probably too familiar with. Damien Duff as a manager, you probably know that now at this stage. Does it get much media coverage stuff over in Scotland managing the team?
Just through social media, really. I follow a few accounts, and to be honest, I know he gets a lot of hate, but when I'm watching it here and other people, like, he gets people talking about the league because there's boys within the team and other boys I speak to speaking them how he speaks about the league. Obviously, the Damien Duff clips, but he gets people talking about the league, and he seems really passionate about the league. I know he comes out with some mad comments, probably to other fans, comes across that way, but yeah, people do take an interest, probably more so than you actually think over here. And with social media and LOI TV, you see a lot of it.
Yeah, and I agree with the footy there. A lot of people, some stuff he comes out with, you're agreeing with. He came out with something last week about standards, and you know, you agree with him 100%. But then there's times you come out and you talk about his team. They're not managers, back their players, but he's cast come out with some absolute nonsensical comments. Last year, he came out
Yeah.
and said he's got the best midfield in the league, and three players are now gone.
Yeah, I think he's quite, as much as it gets other players, other teams fans riled up, like, I think he's quite intelligent in terms of it's that kind of siege mentality that he tries to create shells and the
Nearly a
problem.
Mourinho-esque sort
Yeah,
of.
exactly. And it wouldn't surprise you if that's what he models it on, but certainly in terms of the league, he voices his opinion and it gets people talking good or bad about the league. And for the league to grow, I think that's what you probably need, just honest conversations, and it picks up a bit of traction on social media, and before you know it, people in Scotland and that are talking about the league.
Absolutely, yeah. I suppose I think I'll try to get a scoreline off for Friday. I was at home.
We'll go 3-1 Bows, Ali Coote double, and we'll go Paddy Kirk 30 yarder and then sent off for a shock and tackle.
He scored a cracker this year already, in fairness to the boy.
He's got it in him. He has got it in him. He's also got a sending off in him, I know.
Yeah, I don't think he's been sent off in his career yet.
Hopefully not yet. But
Hopefully not until I fucking tell him. He's got a couple of goals. I've been back on one of the Polish lads every week to score for us. The gun hasn't been banned on yet. So I might actually start sticking on Paddy to score every week.
Paddy or Bucko, you'll get a good price for
Yeah, he'd be fucking waiting on beating Bucko. He's one goal a season.
that.
But I suppose cup final then next week, Scott. It's actually on my birthday, funny enough. As a
Yeah.
present, I'd like you to win it. I'm going to ask you for a prediction. I got to go 2-1 Inverness.
Was thinking that, but I'm thinking 1-1, and we're going to win it in extra time.
Win it next time, no penalties.
Nah, no penalties. I'm going to score a 25 yarder.
And you're on penalty duties, are you?
No, I'm second. I'm second. The Billy Mackay's first, so. If he's off the park, then I think I might get the responsibility. So yeah, I'll bat myself, but I'll be shite myself at the same time.
Haha, stick it down the middle, you can do. But I suppose we're going to finish up here and So, as we wrap up, what does the future have for Scotland Irish in football?
Yeah, I think obviously the big game this weekend, and then I just really want to continue. I feel like I've had a good 3 years at Inverness, and then see what's next. I'm out of contract in the summer, so probably after the game, we'll have a better think of what the next few years hold. But yeah, I just want to kick on and try and play at the highest level I possibly can. And yeah, hopefully that's where Scottish Cup winners' medal is the next achievement.
What's the level you want to play at? Your body now, 24, 25?
25, yeah. I think the next step, you'd like to play in the Scottish Premiership. I think that is the next step. And then from there, if you do well beyond that, then it opens up other avenues, but you need to get to the Premiership first. So yeah, I think that is the next aim of trying to play at that level, do well week in, week out, and then push on from there, really.
And do you ever see yourself moving back to Dublin at any chance? I know you've been up and down these days, so a bit more complicated.
Yeah, I think so. I think it probably makes it a bit more. Never say never, like, but I think the most I'll get is a 3 dayer in Dublin now.
That's about it, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, Scott, thanks very much for coming on this week. And we wrap up every week as we normally do. Come on, the fucking boats.
Come on, the boys.
Cause we all follow boys wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We are the boys and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around and we sing it again.